Blog Talk Radio.
Interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. But whoever you are, I know one thing we all have in common. Don't we all want to know the truth? The truth about what's really going on here in this crazy, confusing, chaotic world. So welcome to the 619th edition of SDG, Solo Day of Glory. And the title of this message today is 2023 Endgame Update Number 35. And a bit later in this message, folks, we're going to tie it all into learning how to recognize these false teachers who are heavy on the facts but light on the truth. You know, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, that through their covetousness shall they, that's these false teachers, with feigned words, make merchandise out of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. So I hope you stay tuned to learn the message, method, and manner of these satanic false teachers who are all around us. In the media, medicine, science, schools, banks, the bureaucracy, and even in some of our churches. These are those who care nothing about yours or my well-being and only seek to profit, pun intended, folks, off of our demise. But the bottom line, folks, is that as believers, we may be in this world, but we're not of this world. And as God's people, we're just passing through. So let's all refuse to be destroyed by this Luciferian all-out war on humanity. And be sure to stay tuned to find out the latest news that the mainstream media will never tell you as we dive deeper and deeper into all these new 9/11 events which are unfolding in slow motion while on steroids. But remember, folks, it all started with that lab-engineered, media-manipulated coronavirus heist. And as we do every week, folks, let's get started with a review of something or some things from last week's episode. Now, you know that last week, folks, we talked about this theme of non-compliance. That was the central theme of our show from last week, folks. Do not comply. Do not comply with all their craziness, folks. And like I said last week, folks, and I really meant it, I really did. Do not comply. F them and their mandates. F them. And to hell with their mandates. I, for one, will not comply. I will face the tyrants, and we must remain ungovernable in the face of tyranny. So when the media, the false prophet, spews more fear porn to compel compliance, do not comply. And when they say eat the bugs, do not comply. When they say take the jab, do not comply. When they say wear the mask, do not comply. When they say give up your AR-15, do not comply. When they say drive an electric vehicle, do not comply. And when they say live in a tiny house or a 15-minute city, do not comply. And I'll add to that, folks, when they say, hey, we have a new digital currency for you. All you have to do is take this card, or better yet, put this little chip in your wrist. Do not comply, folks. Now, last week we even heard Christina Anderson say, do not comply. Do you remember that?
Because I can tell you, you cannot comply your way out of a tyranny. It is impossible. Trying to do so, you will only feed a gigantic alligator in the hopes of being eaten last. But guess what? Your turn will come, and then you will be the one swallowed up.
And I couldn't say it better than that, but you may be saying, scratching your head, who is this Christina Anderson? Well, back in 2013, Ms. Anderson became a member of the Alternative for Germany, that party known as AfD. And from 2016 to 2018, she was the party's group leader in the Limburg-Weilburg District Assembly. And she was elected to the European Parliament in 2019. And before the election, she said that her goal was to lead Germany out of this EU nightmare. Now, Der Spiegel, one of their large news agencies over in Germany, described her as an activist of the Pegida movement. Now, you may be saying, well, what's the Pegida movement? Well, that's the patriotic Europeans against the Islamization of the West. That was their border crisis, folks. We're getting ours from down south of the border. They got theirs from the Middle East, and it's all about divide and conquer. It's the Balkanization of the world, folks. Now, as you recall, if you're a regular listener to the show, we've heard her support for things in the past, like the Canadian convoy protest. She was in Parliament, and as a member of the European Parliament, she sits on several committees. One is the Culture and Education Committee, the Women's Rights and Gender Equality Committee. I can't imagine what goes on in there. There's a special committee she's on for AI in the digital age, and she's a deputy member of the Committee for the Internal Market and Consumer Protection Group. And recently, she was appointed to the special committee on the COVID-19 pandemic, and there she is, a firebrand, folks. So she's no slouch. She is a patriotic, you know, my country first type politician, just like the prime minister over in Italy right now. Plus, last week also focused on this diabolical plan behind the globalists' 15-minute cities. Now, that's how they're going to ultimately move us into these dystopian silos. Remember that clip we played from the Apple series? Well, I have a short excerpt from it, and I'd like to replay it just to refresh your memory and set the stage.
We do not know why we are here. We do not know who built the silo. We do not know why everything outside the silo is as it is. We do not know when it will be safe to go outside. We only know that day is not this day.
Wow. Talk about prophetic, predictive programming, revelation of the method. Folks, they're in our faces. They are telling us what they're going to do. Now, mark my words, folks, unless we resist, unless we do not comply to this tyranny, unless we all participate in this non-compliance movement, one day these 15-minute cities will become our silos. And even as the EU Prime Minister Parliamentary Member Christina Anderson has said, do not comply, well, she's even speaking out on these 15-minute cities. So let's have a listen to what she has to say. It's about a minute and 30-second clip on these 15-minute cities.
The digital green certificate, the COVID pass, that was a test balloon to get people to having to produce some kind of a QR code, you know, just getting people used to that. Now what they're slamming us with is these 15-minute cities. Make no mistake, it's not about your convenience. It's not that they want you to be able to, you know, have all of these places that you need to get to very close. And it's not about saving the planet either, by the way. The 15-minute cities, they will have to have those for they can lock you down. And that's what we're talking about here. So in Great Britain, some county already passed legislation. They will be able to impose a climate lockdown. That's the next step. That's what we're talking about. So in order to do that, they will have to have these 15-minute cities. The next step then, of course, will be you are only allowed to leave your immediate area for, let's say, 2 or 3 times a year. So, but there's other people that may have more money and then they can actually buy your passing off of you. So guess what? The poor people will be left in these 15-minute neighborhoods while the ones that are better off get to go wherever they want to go. So this is what we're talking about.
That's what she's talking about, folks. The same thing we do on this show and others do on their freedom-focused shows, where we are heavy on the truth and a little bit skeptical of the facts. Amen? So that's the true motive behind the 15-minute cities, folks. It's not about our convenience. Like she said, they need these 15-minute cities if they're going to be able to control us. So they have to have these before they can lock us down in these underground silos. And it's just like those good old nasty carbon credits from Al Gore. You know, we covered that on the show a year or so ago. There are some people that are going to have more money or more digital credits than others, and they're actually going to be able to purchase your freedom passes, you know? So the poor people are going to be left behind in these 15-minute cities, and the rich are going to get to go wherever they want to go, kind of like what Bill Sweet talked about, you know, with Gideon. We're going to be locked down in the silo, folks. Bottom line, do not comply. This is all about total control, I'm telling you. And if we comply, we're all going to be given a mark, a code, a number, and we're going to be assigned to a small prefab 15-minute city with a job and a generic life where we're served GMO food and Marxist propaganda 24/7. It's going to be like Big Brother. Remember that mega cities on the move, Plandopolis clip of the World Economic Forum that we've played over and over and over on the show? Let's have a listen to it again. Now, they talk about a mega city, but what you really have here is an amalgamation of all these little small 15-minute subsets within this mega city. And to move anywhere within there, you got to have a pass. To send your children to a certain school, you're going to have your assignment approved. It kind of reminds me of one of those dystopian shows like Mockingbird. What were those ones for the teenagers? Variant, or I forget the names. But this is all predictive programming. So let's have a re-listen to Mega Cities on the Move.
I'm so glad you're on time. I'm V. I'm looking forward to showing you around Plandopolis today. My husband works from home. He's a virtual engineer working on one of the city's desalination plants. He controls the robots who do all the important maintenance. I think he basically plays computer games for a living. Are you ready to go? Have you got your calorie card open on your smartphone? I registered your visit with Slick Travel Corp the other day, so they've allotted you a journey time to match mine. It makes so much sense, doesn't it? Switch off brain and go to work. With this many people around, I'm glad there's a mega computer in charge. We're so lucky. Our kids were allocated a school quite near my practice, so I can drop them off on the way. Saves on my calorie ration. Well, it won't be long until the little darlings get their career announcements. Been working so hard, so I'm sure they'll get something good. Not that there's anything wrong with fixing carbon scrubbers for a living or anything. Are you hungry? Let's pop to the market as we're passing. Right, what's on the menu this month? No, not meat. It's not your birthday. The Global Food Council are doing a really good job of keeping food production going. I mean, you don't get the choice you used to, but we're better off than most. I think it's probably easiest to walk from here. You barely see a car in the city centre nowadays, unless you're rich. Well, the state knows they just aren't practical anymore. We're all trying to meet our global carbon deal. electric bikes are so much better for getting around our neighbourhood. And why waste valuable space on car parks when you can use them to grow food? I don't care what you say, Alex. They don't deserve to live in that ghetto. They are completely disconnected. No high-speed transport system, no new internet. They miss out on jobs and many essential services too. Oh, hi again. What a day. I had to make an emergency visit to the Cry Freedom Ghetto. I mean, I miss my sister like mad, but I'm glad they went when they moved to New Amsterdam. They're safe from climate change on the floating city. That must be her now. It's much easier to meet up with friends virtually now. So many cities have banned cars in central areas. Ooh, looks like she's got some juicy gossip.
Okay, I hope that illustrated the point here. This is coming, folks. And, you know, Paul, I thought you'd comment on this, but you're just sitting over there sleeping, aren't you?
Are you serious?
Yeah, Paul. Sadly, it is serious. And if we don't comply, if we don't all stand up and resist this tyranny, that's where we're all going to end up, living in these pre-planned, pre-selected 15-minute cities, all wearing clothing chosen for us in stores that we're approved to shop in 3 times a year to get 3 items of clothing. And then the corrupt U.S. government, they'll be able to force whatever they decide upon you and me and try to rise up. And they're just going to cut food supplies or maybe cut off the water and start a fire. Your utilities will be cut off. Your money will be cut off for any time, for any reason. Oh, and by the way, jabs, they're going to be forced. Bioweapons could even be dropped on entire cities, or worse, if you rise up and protest, bottom line, they don't care about your welfare. They have an agenda. They're pragmatists. They'll do whatever they want to do, regardless of the cost, the pain, the suffering, to accomplish their goals. And all this is just going to make their genocide easier. So, folks, bottom line, do not comply. And like Deborah Tavares, the owner of StopTheCrime.net, and we're going to talk about her more, but in a recent interview she did on Revolution Radio, listen to what she had to say.
We must not rely or trust media weather reporting. They lie. And as a result, we sustain damage. We get injured, or we die, and we lose our neighborhoods. Understand this. You will hear a weatherman in Michael's movie, in fact, in the majority of his movies as well. What in the world are they spraying, and why in the world are they spraying? In this newly recovered movie, Unconventional Gray, who was reporting on national television until he realized that he was watching something happening in the skies, and he was given a script to report on, and all his friends would joke with him and tell him, why can't you ever get the weather right? And he was a meteorologist. He finally started to track for himself to find out why the reports he scripted were always wrong. You'll hear him. Michael interviews him, because we are truly on our own. We're on our own in an unacknowledged weather warfare that are being waged intentionally upon us all. So it's important to understand that, to take action, because we must do all we can do to be harder, to use this life we're given now to learn what the truth is, so that we can band together emotionally and psychologically, so that we are not mind-controlled into oblivion and our memories swiped and many are murdered. We no longer can be sleeping victims. We must become acutely attuned to atmospheric conditions. We can and we must observe the sky and observe and feel the amped up frequencies, because our lives truly do depend on our abilities to detect the conditions that are weapons used to kill us. Remember, this is war, and we are the targets. Be prepared. Plan your escape routes if you are forced to evacuate, and stay in touch with your contacts.
What's the big question?
What if everything you know to be true? One big lie.
Well, I'm here to tell you something, folks. Other than the gospel of Jesus Christ, 99.9% of everything you're told in this world is a big, fat lie. It's not true. These 15-minute cities, these wildfires, these are all 100% New World Order controlled events and plans. These cities that they're building out of the ashes of all these burned out areas that are done by directed energy weapons, they're going to be controlled prison camps, New Age style. Think about how a demon thinks just for a minute and picture this. They don't care about you and me. Like Christina Anderson said, there's never been a government in the history of the world that cares about the people. Government is raw, unbridled power, folks. And our founders said that they must be chained. Government must be chained, dog. Yet what do? We worship it like a god. So these cities they're planning are demonic, folks. They're going to be like that silo. Dystopian series that's on Apple. Please wake up, folks. Please stop being foolish. Wake up. Wake your friends up. Spread the word. Get this message out. Please help me get the message out. Some of you apparently are. Our listenership is up, and I appreciate it. So take the link to this on Blog Talk Radio, or it's on Apple, iTunes, it's on Google, and it's on a few of the other podcasts, whatever you listen to it on. Share the link on your social media. Tell people about it. Tell people about some of the references I make in here. We have to wake up. And just like Deborah Tavares, founder of the StopTheCrime.net, said on this recent Revolution Radio interview she did. And oh, and the shout out to Sister Kathy and Ingrid. And Ingrid. Ingrid sent this to me and Sister Kathy, and it really started me thinking in a bigger way on all this. This goes back to 2017 for Deborah. Deborah was awoken by the strange anomalies in Paradise, California, where cars were literally melted to the ground, and right beside it, there was a plastic garbage can or a house and a tree left untouched by the fire. How does that happen? Well, like Deborah Tavares says, we must defend ourselves. We must become aware of the truth that most of what we've been told is a lie. Now, like I said, she's the owner of StopTheCrime.net, so I suggest you go over there and sign up for her email blasts. She is all over this Maui scandal right now. And I promise you, if you do these sorts of things and you ask the Lord for truth, you will be informed. And God said through his prophet Isaiah that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, folks. So become aware. Who knows what's going on with all this, folks? But if we ignore this, like compliant little sheeple, and go on to our death camps, bad things are going to happen. And maybe that's just the way of God calling the sheep from the goats, so to speak. But the bottom line is that as believers, we never bend a knee to a tyrant. We only bend our knee to King Jesus. Now, I have to keep moving. I spent a good bit of time on this. And right now, it's time for Sister Kathy and Brother Alex's Freaky Deaky News Update. And starting off the news update like we do every week, let's look at what's going on with the coronavirus heist.
The coronavirus, virus, 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 the coronavirus. The coronavirus, COVID-19, bottled, pandemic, the coronavirus, it's a scandemic, they call it the great equalizer, and they were all in this together, except for the bankers, the politicians.
What a bald-faced lie, folks. We're not all in this together. They are a bunch of scammers. That's really what they are. Now, did you hear about all this hype that's out right now concerning the latest COVID variant and how it began? Well, you're not going to believe this, folks, but that variant wasn't found in people. It was found in sewage.
What? What? Are you serious? Are you serious? Can I have some more coffee?
Oh, I'm very serious, Paul. In fact, there is a clip that I'm going to play for you now from the CBS New York City News stating in this urgent news tone voice that the latest BA2.86 variant has been detected in New York City sewage. You can't make this stuff up. Just have a listen, folks.
Now to a health alert. The newest COVID variant has been detected in the city, although not in a person. The city's health commissioner says the BA2.86 variant has been found in the city's sewage. Cases of the new variant have been on the rise across the country, but there is no indication that it causes more severe illness. The city's health department says an updated COVID vaccine is expected to become available in the coming week.
So let's all be good little compliant sheep and get out there for our third or fourth booster. But before you do, I'd suggest you go over to Alex Berenson's Substack page and read his article titled 10 Jab Facts from Alex Berenson. And after reading it, if you still get the booster, I'm just going to say this straight up. You're getting what you deserve, folks. Folks, the facts on the scamdemic have been manipulated to weave a false narrative, and that's the truth. And the truth is that all of this COVID hysterica is nothing more than kabuki theater, nothing more than politics. It's nothing to do with health. It has everything to do with advancing a globalistic New World agenda. Even Trump's saying that now. I don't know if you heard his latest, but he has gotten on the non-compliance movement. Let's have a listen.
But to every COVID tyrant who wants to take away our freedom, hear these words: we will not comply. So don't even think about it. We will not shut down our schools. We will not accept your lockdowns. We will not abide by your mask mandates. And we will not tolerate your vaccine mandate.
Just imagine, folks, a vaccine so safe that you have to be threatened to take it for a disease so deadly that over 99% of those who've had it fully recovered with no treatment. You know, election season always creates these scams. And once again, we see the Uniparty trotting out their old melon ballot scheme, and that's what's in the works here, folks. Now, it's becoming so obvious that this melon ballot is a cheat. Did you know that most European nations refuse it? You're not allowed to vote mail-in. You have to go. And I think it's paper ballots over there. I wonder what that says about these electronic voting machines. But not here in the good old U.S. of A. You know, how's our national anthem say it? Land of the free and home of the brave. You know, that line from the national anthem ought to be revised to say land of the slaves and home of the cowards. Sadly, there's so many sheeple who love government and view government as their false god. They actually welcome their economic slavery. I just can't fathom it, folks. It drives me crazy. Did you know that the government seizes about 60% of our nation's productivity through all sorts of taxes and, you know, rules and regulations that decouple productivity from industry? And they're adding them every month, folks. Plus, there's the inflation from their fiat phony paper money. Instead of the constitutional gold and silver, it's not even money, these Federal Reserve notes. It's currency. Real money is gold and silver as defined by the Constitution, folks. Plus, you got the feds who just hate the free market so much that they literally control it. Just like the Soviets did in the USSR with their 5-year plans, and I don't know if they even teach that in school anymore. But today we call it the Crash Protection Team, set up under President Reagan after that Black Swan event on Wall Street. So now they actually manipulate Wall Street and the rest of the economy to advance their five-year plans. So you've got a corrupt government promoting all of this craziness, this woke agenda, instead of promoting saving and industry and prosperity for all. So would you trust a group of people, 535 people, if you count all three branches of the federal government? Would you count 535 people and all their minion of bureaucrats for your well-being? Well, I hope not, folks. America, wake up before it's too late. Before we all get suckered into another round of these mRNA vest jabs, please understand that the truth is contrary to the lies that these false prophets, these teachers, are spewing, because these jabs are neither safe nor are they effective. And now it's coming out that they're killing babies. Folks, that's another reason not to comply. J.D. Rucker over on Substack reposted an article. It was on Natural News that come out from another source. And I see a lot of that going on, and that's fine. Get the word out. But I just want to do it from J.D. because he had a good summary on it. And I don't have time to play the clip with Naomi Wolf talking to Dr. James Thorpe. But she recently did concerning the dangers of this so-called vaccination against the Wuhan coronavirus COVID-19. Now, who is this James Thorpe? Well, she tells you all about it in the first 3 minutes of the interview, and it's over on Rumble. Mm-hmm. But I'll give you a little bit of a background. I'm having an update. This is crazy. Let's just do a quick check and make sure these clips are working yet.
It's going to change.
They're still working. I have to, I shut that off last week and it's back on again, but I don't want to get distracted on that. So back to this whole story with Dr. James Thorpe. He is a specialist in neonatal care and neonatal development and one of the very few medical providers for pregnant women and babies who is sounding the alarm on this issue of the dangers of reproductive health and its association with, you know, these death jabs. So he told Dr. Wolf, she's a PhD, not an MD, that the shots appear to have been designated or designed specifically to stop reproduction. Now, he was fired from St. Mary's Health System, a large Catholic health system in this country, a very large one, in fact, one of the largest. He was actually fired for speaking out and warning his pregnant women patients, yes, pregnant women patients, dangers. Now, him and his wife got this information. She's an attorney, and she filed a Freedom of Information Act request, a FOIA, and she learned that the government was spending $13 million of the COVID funding pie on various influencers to get the jab message out. And some of that $13 billion was actually targeted to an OBGYN NGO. I know that's a lot of letters and it's an alphabet soup, so to speak. But so it was monies funded to doctors who focus on women's health care and reproductive health through a non-governmental organization. And their oversight or their direction for this money was to have tens of thousands of obstetricians and gynecologists all over the world, not just here in the United States, influence their millions upon millions of patients to take the jab because the lie that was spewed, that it was safe and effective. And why was it safe and effective? Well, remember what we learned from Hope and Tavon, that study done in Israel where the facts were muddied, the facts became fickle, the facts were a little light on the truth. And what do we end up with? A lie. And that's what happens when you don't stay grounded on the truth. So the State of the Nation website wrote this concerning Thorpe's interview with Naomi Wolf. The contract that the Thorpe's Freedom of Information Act disclosed provided for the return of the money if medical organizations did not adhere to the safe and effective mantra for the pregnant women and new mom script that was presented to them by the HHS. And then they went on to say, Dr. Thorpe independently confirms what the War Room Daily Clout's findings, and that's where you can find this over at the Daily Clout's Rumble page. You'll see the interview with Naomi Wolf and Dr. Thorpe. So he's confirmed what three other independent sources have already discovered. One, that the placentas, fetuses, and newborns are being damaged by the mRNA injection. And all four of these sources confirm the following. There's fibroid damage, blood clotting, and as they start to quantify the size of the fetus, they're seeing what is the fetus and the placenta, which is the food source for the baby, the unborn baby. They're noticing that they're small for the dates that they're being quantified with. I guess they use sonography. Plus, there's calcifications all over the placenta and the unborn baby. You know, what this all means is that these vaccinated mums who are carrying life in utero are not giving these unborn children enough food. So they're literally being starved in the womb and not growing to term. Folks, this is a war against, a crime against humanity, foisted upon us through unconventional warfare. So if you want to know more about Dr. Thorpe and more on details in these articles cover, go over to the Rumble page and you'll see that. It's on the Daily Clout's channel. And I just a prayer out to Dr. Thorpe and Naomi. God bless both of them and strengthen them. We really appreciate what people are doing out there to reveal the truth in so many different fronts, folks. So prayers to them and their family and all of you out there who are standing against the tyranny that's being foisted upon God's children. Keep sharing the light. We need to have this word out, folks, and God help us. Now, you can check out Dr. Thorpe's latest findings. He has a Substack page. It's called Freedom in Truth. So go over to Substack, type in Freedom in Truth, all one word, and his Substack page will come up. And oh, and by the way, please pray for those poor victims on this massive weather attack on all the homes in Perry, Florida, near Tallahassee. And there's no doubt in my mind, folks, that that was a weather warfare-induced hurricane. And why am I saying that? Well, go up to the banner page and take a look. There's a picture of the Capitol in Tallahassee, Florida. Just before Operation Hurricane Idalia was launched on the Freedom State, you can see the cloud bands. And Deborah Tavares over at StopTheCrime.net has this all documented with patents and all the different programs that are used. Remember the woodpecker grid from the Soviet Union? These are frequencies that create those patterns, and they're used to direct the Gulf Stream and the ferocity of these hurricanes, which are naturally occurring. They amplify it, and then they direct it through this HAARP technology. And this is real, folks, but we're not told it, so we don't think it's real because we have false teachers programming us rather than true teachers, good people, telling us the truth. So can anyone say weather warfare against the Freedom State? Well, I will. And so did Deborah Tavares in this other portion of that interview that was sent to me by Ingrid. Let's have a listen to Deborah set the stage for things we're going to cover later in the show concerning biowarfare.
Plural. April 17th, 1976. It's posted on Stop the Crime. .net. Now, let's get in to a little bit of what is happening in Lahaina and what is happening worldwide. And I have to start with some discussion about the targeting of all of us and the targeting of individuals using methods and systems to mind swipe and create realities that don't exist for us. There are many patents on these subjects. And many of these systems have been developed to stimulate the brain with different frequencies and wave forms to alter the target's state of consciousness. And they do this through electromagnetic fields, EMF. That's why we fought so hard to prevent the deployment of the wireless electric smart meters and why California and some other states were able to get an opt-out. Nobody fully understood the ramifications of these frequencies. Now, of course, wireless electric gas meters have been deployed, and more importantly, wireless electric water meters. So what the electromagnetic field, or EMF, it's monitoring is one of the most insidious and secretive of all methods used by the agencies. So let's talk about a little bit about microwave weapons. You know this, but it's noteworthy for some of you who don't, because it's important to understand that microwave weapons are also hearing systems, and they're patents, and they're hearing devices. The first known experiment with microwaved voices was conducted by Sharp and Grove in the early 70s. The Defense Intelligence Agency, Advanced Research Project Agency, are principally to blame for the abuse of such technologies. Project Pandora and many other projects, the CIA's Langley Research Center, as well as numerous scientists working in Energy Defense Department labs across the United States, are all responsible. Now, for those of you that have not heard me talk ad nauseum for years about the NASA war plan, please go to stopthecrime.net and listen to some of the shows and the discussion about that PowerPoint, the NASA war plan. You will see many things and many methods of attacks that we're seeing now, such as train derailments, all intentional. And interesting how so many of them derail near waterways. Interesting. You'll read so many of the kind of attacks that await and are occurring. You need to look at that. But let's go back into brain wave monitors and analyzers, because it's important to know when the brain wave pattern of an individual is detected from the use of one of numerous types of detectors, such as satellites, these brain wave signals are sent to a monitor with a computer. The brainwave patterns are interpreted through a brainwave vocabulary that records the thoughts into words. This is pre-crime. This is what we have been talking about. This is Palantir. Pre-crime. The NSA monitors the brainwaves of their targets by satellite and decode the evoked potentials that the brain emits. So using lasers, satellites, and high-powered computers, the agencies have now gained the ability to decipher human thoughts. And from a considerable distance, almost instantaneously. Did you know that? It's already there.
How can you block it?
It's already happened. We're going to talk about, well, we could talk about psychotronic guns, certainly.
That's a good place to stop, folks. Lies, lies, lies. You know, they can't read your mind. They can't put voices in your head. That's all sci-fi. No, folks, it's all lies.
What's the big question?
What if everything you know to be true? Was one big lie?
You know, folks, these lies that the false, I should say these facts that the false prophets on the lying fake media, the false teachers, I like to call the media the false prophet. It's all lies, folks. From our money system to our education to our politics and even religion. It's all about control. So do not comply. You know, it's not religion that God wants with you. The only religion that he says is of any benefit is charity to widows and orphans and keeping yourself pure from the impurities of this world. So get right with God and develop a personal relationship with Jesus, first as your Lord and then as your Savior. And if you do that, as you trust and obey, I promise you upon the word of God that he will become both your friend and your brother. But first you must repent and trust Jesus, and then trust and obey, as that song says, for there's no other way. And I'll let you fill in the blanks. But we have to keep moving, and right now, it's time for our Kabuki Theater update.
COVID-19, George Floyd, Rice, BLM, police reform, the 2020 election. All merely coincidence? I hardly think so. Folks, it's called Kabuki Theater. The Japanese ka means salt. Boo means dance. Ki means skill from the verb. Kabu means to slam or display. Folks, it's all a lie. It's the flatten the curve. The curve of the economy, stupid, must slow down the velocity of money. Or will hybrid take before we're done. Stealing it all. Trump, bad. Must go. Good is bad. Bad is good. Up is down. Light is dark. It's all Kabuki Theater, folks. Prepping the masses for Agenda 2030 and the new world order. Just say no to it all and wake up before it's too late.
Now, speaking against weather warfare, there's a great article over on the Globalist Agenda. It's titled "The Maui Fires and the Globalist Agenda." It's written by a guy named Bruce Kane on his Substack page. So you go to brucekane.substack.com and you'll see it. And what I liked about it is it's one of the most comprehensive and balanced articles I've seen yet. It's well worth the time. So it's clear to all those with eyes to see and ears to hear that this event in Lahaina, Maui, was a globalist premeditated slaughter of the people of Lahaina. And Bruce Kane, like I said, he assembled what I thought was the best information-packed report, and he did it in the form of an essay, kind of like you and I would do back in school, loaded with reference materials. I'm telling you, you could do a deep dive over in his Substack page concerning this. And he's not coming out and saying that directed energy weapons were used, but he included evidence from others saying that it was. So I'd like to focus on one such clip from his article. And before we listen to this clip, let me tell you what happened. So Terry's been watching a lot of YouTube videos for health and nutrition, and she's into a low-carb regime right now. And everything we've learned about the standard American diet, like I've mentioned on this show, is wrong. And we should be eating a lot more protein and a lot more fat and a lot fewer carbs, especially these bad empty carbs from our processed foods. So anyways, she's on YouTube a lot. And she's starting to discover Rumble. And she was just scrolling through it, and she was interested in the Maui fires, so she watched a few updates there. And then once you have that in the algorithm, and apparently YouTube hasn't started to censor the algorithm yet, she had this one pop-up from a guy who goes on the channel Hawaii Real Estate. And I forget his name, but Terry said to me, Ken, there's this realtor out in Hawaii that's asking some very strange questions. And here's what's so funny. I had that queued up to play on the show today. So here's Terry that thinks I'm a little crazy sometimes. She's getting red-pilled through YouTube. It still happens on YouTube, folks. Let's listen to the owner of the Hawaii Real Estate channel on YouTube ask some very serious questions about some strange anomalies did energy weapons.
Hey, aloha, guys. Eric West here, HawaiiRealEstate.org, coming to you live from Lahaina Luna neighborhood, Maui, Hawaii. Citizens, impromptu reporter, wasn't planning on doing this, but this is what we're doing, and I'm thankful to have a Starlink from David Crawford, and we're here reporting on what I believe is potentially a smoking gun of sorts. We just don't know what it is, but I'm going to show you the scenario of this car and what's surrounding it and how temperatures could reach this level, creating this amount of melting of aluminum. I'm here with Donovan. He is, I believe, a hero of sorts. Aloha, Donovan. He's the one that brought it to my attention that we have these very strange occurrences. We just shot down on the highway. I don't know if it was actually live, but we have it all recorded, so we're going to post it. We're at another one of these locations. So this is well above the burn zone, essentially, in a neighborhood known as Lahaina Luna. I'm going to show you around real quick, so you can see the scenario and then judge for yourself. And again, if you enjoy content like this, I encourage you to please like the channel, subscribe, and share the video so you can get the truth of what's going on here at Maui. So where I'm at right now, just to orientate you, you can see the lights for the football stadium right there at Lahaina Luna. So we're right below Lahaina Luna High School in the neighborhood that did not, I repeat, did not burn. You can see all these houses are standing around here, unburned. There's no burn here, okay? So to me, this is like something out of a space movie.
This is
because you have a small field with some grass that burned, right? You can see where the grass burned. But then you have these two vehicles sitting in here that have melted
aluminum.
So, Donovan, if you want to just take us through this car real quick and show us, I know you know a few things about cars. You can point out some things that, that require a very high temperature. By the way, we just talked to the neighbor who was talking to an investigator in Lahaina Town yesterday, and he said the investigator told him the temperature's reached in excess of 3,000 degrees. So tell us what you got, Donovan.
Well, we have about 300 degrees for aluminum. This 300? 1,300.
1,300, okay, thank you.
1,300, well, 1,220, but if you round it up, because it was not only melted, it was liquefied to the point where it became a river of aluminum going down the dirt hill.
So this is the aluminum rim, obviously. There's the tire, what's left of it, the steel threads or steel belts.
And maybe combination gas tank if the gas tank's aluminum.
Okay. So you have liquefied aluminum running down the side of a grass fire.
The caliper melted, unless they stole it, but it looks like the bolts are still there. So that, and then you get the belt, the steel belt of the tire, which is just a bunch of a wire mesh laying there. And you have the windows that were melted, the back window. If you look at the big old, like almost like
the glass is just melted.
Yeah, it was
ripping.
This is almost what you would see if you put a car in an incinerator.
But this is not surrounded by a bunch of structure fires or anything.
Yeah, there's no fuel.
So besides the gas that was in the tank, what's your theory on what could create temperatures of this level in the middle of a field?
Anomaly, I think is the word.
So this is the second anomaly.
Yeah, that's why I stopped. I looked at it. I'm like, okay, house. Nothing's burned. And then you have melted steel and glass. And then the only thing that is left is the steel, the thick steel frame, and then the steel sheet metal.
So I don't know if you guys have figured this out yet, but the media has not been given access to Lahaina Town. Everything is locked up. Matter of fact, this gentleman next door, he was on Front Street yesterday, and he was supposed to get access, and then the mayor shut it down because people were taking pictures. So they don't want pictures taken of anything in Lahaina Town. Because they don't want you to see this would be my guess. Because the more that you take a look at this, and especially in this scenario, if there was a car like this in the middle of Lahaina, you might think to yourself, well, okay, it was in the middle of this major burn. There's an animal that...
That's a good place to stop, folks. So there we have a normal guy, a realtor from Hawaii, Eric West, just a real estate guy who's being red-pilled. But this isn't the only one. There's also an arborist, you know, a tree guy, a tree expert. So Terry and I watched that clip on the Hawaiian realtor. And then the YouTube algo, like I said, it mustn't be programmed to censor videos yet on this Maui wildfire. They didn't get the memo yet from deep state headquarters at the World Economic Forum. That's what the case is, I guess. I'm just speculating, but probably true. So there's this arborist. He's been a tree expert for 48 years. This is a guy that's probably in his late 60s, early 70s, and he's on the Blossom Inner Wellness channel, folks. This has nothing to do with anything except health, and he's being interviewed by the host. Remember, this is a tree guy, and this botanist says it was a microwave attack. Now, he's a botanist. Yet he sounds like Deborah Taveras over at StopTheCrime.net, who got red-pilled with the same sort of evidence back in 2017 after the Paradise, California Dew attacks. Now, Sister Kathy was all over that back then, and she sent it to me, and I remember it so vividly because I got the clip from Sister Kathy when we were coming home from our getaway up on the lake at the cottage. And I was sitting in the parking lot. Terry wanted to stop into a thrift store on the way home. And I was playing that video. And I was a little bit skeptical. Directed energy weapons, seriously? Folks, I have no doubt now, 6 years later, that this was an attack. Unconventional weapons through a deep state element of the government. that has an agenda that's contrary to the benefit of you and me, folks. You know, there's so much damning evidence all over the place. And then on top of that, you know, you're not allowed to film this. They have a drone restriction. That's because they don't want this documented. And then there's the behavior of the authorities after the fires, you know, or even before, blocking escape routes, turning off water, and not giving any warning. They did the same thing in Paradise, California back in 2017. Did you know that, folks? They had both water towers down for earthquake proofing right before the directed energy weapon attack on Paradise, California that came in the middle of the night. And then these authorities are denying donated supplies. Like I said, putting up that wall, that curtain around, and banning all media and all drones. People simply don't do that, folks. And I pray that the judgment of God upon these minion of Lucifer is quick and swift. And it's very important that the locals document all of this. So get your cameras out on your phones, folks, and take pictures of this. Get big pictures with the overall scene, and then zoom in on that vehicle with the melted alloy wheels and the melted glass and all that. Before this evidence destroys, like they did in New York City back on 9/11. Oh, and by the way, did you know there's tons of evidence out there that directed energy weapons were used on those buildings during 9/11? Now, I've watched all the Maui videos, and I've watched all the videos on Paradise and so many other places. I've done my research, folks. And you know what I conclude? Using critical thinking skills, the deep state definitely used directed energy weapons on Lahaina Town. And it's obvious. It's obvious from all the evidence in these videos. All you need to do is look at the devastation and the destruction with your own eyes. And don't listen to the false facts that the false prophet media and their lying false teachers, the talking heads, are spewing on all this. And if you finally realize what the real question is.
What's the big question?
What if everything you know to be true? Was one big lie.
You know, the truth is, folks, they had plans to make Maui, or at least this portion of Lahaina Town in Maui, the first 15-minute smart city in Hawaii. This was all done. This was all planned beforehand. The west side of Lahaina Town has been slated for an area to be the state's first 15-minute smart city. Yet the locals resisted the sale of their properties. So that snake, Governor Josh Green, you know, Green New Deal Green, just decided all on his own without any input from the residents of Maui to convert Maui into this all-electric AI-controlled smart city initiative that didn't go through any legislation, that didn't go through a vote by the people. So to me, it looks like he's working for the New Deal Death Party, not the residents of his jurisdiction. He's not working for the people of Maui, except for maybe the billionaires who have homes there and are going to profit over all this. Folks, I have several archived videos, and do this, folks. Download them onto your electronic devices. Put them onto hard drives, thumb drives, whatever, because these things are going to be scrubbed. I have evidence from both this fire and the Paradise, California fire from 2017 that directed energy weapons were used. Just like Deb Tavares says, and so many others are saying, it's a no-brainer for any critical thinker out there. And anyone who denies this is not informed and hasn't done their research. I'm telling you, folks, those who say, oh, this is just all crazy, I don't want to hear it, and they say things like, oh, you should be more concerned about the victims of the fire than how it was caused. All I can say to them is we should do both. We should be concerned about the victims of the fire, and we should understand why this happened. Can't bury your head in the sand over this, folks. Now, we've covered this concept of unconventional warfare here on SDG for quite some time. And what happened on August 8th, that very cryptic date in Maui, and this week during the hurricane in Florida, it's all warfare against we the people. You know, in the past, we've talked about Dr. David Martin, who was all over the scamdemic, and he showed you, he actually led you down the yellow brick road, follow the money trail, and you could see how all of this bioweapon technology was funded through the federal government and all of the little front companies that were established. Remember we covered that on a show about 2 years ago? Well, Dr. David Martin's out there again exposing the globalistic agenda behind these wildfires. And he made a very, very chilling comparison between the current series of events with these forest fires. Remember, this is the NASA warfare plan against we the people. And he ties it to historical events like the Dust Bowl during the Great Depression. Now, you may be scratching your head saying, well, how's that relate? That sounds non sequitur. Well, let's listen to Dr. David Martin talk about it in his own words.
You know that the Dust Bowl and the Great Depression happened together because industrial agriculture wanted to close down the family farm. Now, that's an objective fact. If you go back and look at it, you know, we didn't have climate change. We had a manufactured financial crisis that did not affect family farms, but was taken from the large corporate banks and infected the family farm banks, which gave rise to the incapacity for farmers to farm. The Dust Bowl was a banking crisis. It was not an environmental crisis. If you look at the bizarre nature right now of the people who are administering the campaign of terror on CO2 emissions, and you're watching them let forest fires be started and burned with impunity, you sit back and go, well, hold on a minute, I thought carbon dioxide was bad. So why are we increasing the carbon dioxide by taking trees out of circulation? Well, the answer is land reappropriation. That's what it's about. It's about reappropriating land. And the best way to reappropriate land is to have a fire. That has been the case since the Old Testament. So this is not a new thing. This has been around for thousands and thousands of years. When humans cannot win on a fair playing field, they use fire. And they use fire to destroy a old appropriation of land and reappropriate it to a new use. There's no question that what is going on in Canada right now is a massive, massive, massive land grab where the state will come in its largesse, and propose new development of what? Of things that will be pro-state. That's not a human recovery. And by the way, as much as Maui may or may not be the sum of a series of electrical failures, there is no question that the power systems in Maui were not managed to diminish the risk of fire. We will not say, and I will not say, they necessarily intentionally set them. I'm not going to get into that conversation. What I will say is that very simple safety protocols, like if lines are down, don't send energy back into a down line, those kinds of things were not done. So were some of those fires, without question, at least negligently set? The answer is, without question, the evidence is unambiguous. And by the way, even NPR talks about that evidence. So the fact is, we know that what we have is a situation where this ongoing campaign of terror is about reallocating, redistributing, and reappropriating resources into state control. And there's no question that that's what happened in Maui. There's no question that's what's happening in Canada. And there's no question that that's what's happening in fires that are going on all around the world, remarkably in places where climate change activists say they're the most concerned with climate change. They're pumping CO2 into the air. So this hypocrisy is necessary to create the cognitive dissonance.
Now, David's on the right track, folks. I'd say he's red-pilled, but he's not black-pilled yet. And one thing he needs to do is stop calling it climate change. It's not climate change. It's weather warfare. Climate change is the deep state's meme, so we all need to stop using it.
What's the big question?
What if everything you know to be true? Was one big lie?
Now it is It is one big lie. But David Martin, Dr. David Martin, did bring up a good point concerning these climate activists and starting these fires. It's a bit hypocritical, isn't it, to burn CO2 to advance your CO2 elimination reduction plan? I should say to emit CO2 during the burning. Isn't it hypocritical to push experimental mRNA jabs known to be deadly if your agenda is healthcare? Isn't it hypocritical to print worthless Federal Reserve notes if your mandate from Congress for the very existence of the Federal Reserve is to minimize inflation? I could go on and on and on with these hypocrisies, and that typically happens with false teachers or, as Jessica Rose says, bad people. Now, she recently put an article out on her Substack page called Who Are the Good Guys? And she says that the good guys exhibit professionalism. Now, you got to be careful there, because we know that the enemy comes as an angel of light, as do his ministers of righteousness, and I suppose they all look very professional. But she says that they exhibit three traits, and I'm going to quote her. To me, professionalism implies a consistent and demonstrable embodiment of three qualities. And she lists them as, and then defines them as, integrity, maturity, and good government. Now, she defines integrity as the practice of being honest and showing a consistent and uncompromising adherence to strong moral and ethical principles and values. And all I'd like to do there is say, I think what she's really saying is virtues, not values. And then she goes on to say, a principle is a fundamental truth or proposition that serves as the foundation for a system, beliefs, or behaviors, or a chain of reasoning. Value denotes the degree of importance of some thing or action with the aim of determining which actions are best to do or what way is best to live. These are known as normative ethics in the discipline of ethics, or to describe the significance of different actions. And then she says that maturity can be equated to emotional intelligence. And we all know EI is most often defined as the ability to perceive, use, understand, and manage and handle one's emotions. And then finally, judgment, which means the evaluation of evidence to make the right decision. And then she goes on to say, if any or all of these are missing, that's a bad person, or what I call a false teacher who's heavy on the facts and a bit light on the truth. So go read it. It's a great article over on her Substack page. And stay tuned for more on how to spot these false teachers, or these bad guys, as Jessica Rose calls them, at the end of the show. And here's their plan in a nutshell. 4 points. They raise the taxes to the place, and that would be Lahaina Town, so that all legitimate small businesses can't afford the tax burden anymore, and the working class have to move out. Then they set fires and let looters run rampant. And, you know, that happened in the Paradise and Lahaina stories. These are complete undesirables that are literally bust in to create more chaos and confusion during these engineered tragedies. And then once everyone has left and all those properties are destroyed and the taxes are so high, the average person that owned the land can't use it. In fact, that's what happened during those mostly peaceful riots back in 2020. Did you know big realtors came in and bought up that land, and they're all near Federal Reserve facilities? Could these be more 15-minute cities? You see how this is all fitting together? And then they always have these targeted areas with beautiful geography, Maui, Canada's Northwest Territory, Paradise Valley, California. That happened down in Tallahassee on that island. Another very beautiful place. That's where the hurricane hit and destroyed. I forgot the name of that place. These are plans, folks. And then the lunacy of their whole CO2 narrative. The CO2 is not harmful. It's the building block of life. We need it for plant growth. And it's only at about 0.04% right now. It's actually lower by two orders of magnitude than water vapor, which I've been talking about for 20 years and is a larger greenhouse gas than CO2 will ever be. Yet we're trying to take CO2 out of the atmosphere, not to help the planet, but to actually hurt the planet and destroy life. There was a medieval period of warming that went on from about 1000 to 1500 AD. And during this time, the temperatures on this earth were much higher than they are now. Yet we don't talk about that. There's no mention of that in the media. Here's how the media covers that. What I'm saying is they don't, folks. They don't cover it. You know, actually, when temperatures increase, human life benefits. I mean, think about the irony here, too. They are admitting that they're melting the ice in the Arctic so they can increase commerce up there and get ships through. They're using their directed energy weapons to melt the ice, in complete contradiction to their stated agenda. And then they keep saying it's to save the earth. It's Gaia worship, folks. That's a form of idolatry. And we're going to hear a bit later in the show, Rabbi Kahn, when he says, when a nation got out, a void is created in the metaphysical, and I'm paraphrasing this, that must be filled with another spirit. And these are the spirits of the lesser gods of antiquities. And that's what, you're not going to believe this, folks, but that is literally what Barbie's all about.
What?
That's right, Paul, I'm serious. So stay tuned to the Outer Limits segment to learn more about the secret dark agenda behind Barbie. But right now, folks, it's time for our Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick, follow the Yellow Brick, follow the Yellow Brick Road. You're up to see the river, the wonderful river above. You find the end of the river, the wind, if ever a river was. If ever, oh, ever a river was, the river of Oz is one because of the wonderful thing he does. You're off to see the river, the wonderful river of Oz.
Now, as you know, folks, if you've been listening to the show, the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And it's happening. Get ready. Leo Holman's reporting that restaurants, ballparks, and stores are gearing up to digitize their customers. Taco Bell is out in the forefront on this as one of the first fast food chains that's actually going to a digital-only, totally cashless business in the very near future. And there are sources that Leo is linked to that saying that some of the large grocery store chains are actually getting ready to do the same thing. And they're going to use AI to enhance the customer experience while scooping up tons of data on you and me, folks. Now, it was reported last week by Leo Holman that the Major League Baseball, what do you want to call it, monopoly, is also implementing biometric digital IDs, as along with Panera Bread and Whole Foods. They're using what's known as Amazon One biometric systems, where you pay not with cash, not with a credit card, but by waving the palm of your hand in front of the scanner, and they're developing ones to actually scan your retina now. Now, of course, I know that the banks and the credit unions, they're all going to follow. So what should we do? Well, I'd simply explain that my Federal Reserve notes have plainly printed on them this message, and it says, legal tender for all debts, public and private. So if you encounter this when you go into a retail establishment who's conducting commerce, just take out one of your Federal Reserve notes and read that for them. Legal tender for all debts, public and private. We need to resist, comply. Make this very difficult for these businesses. Remember what happened to Target. Remember what happened to Anheuser-Busch with the whole Bud Light fiasco. We the people do have power. We're like the ants in It's a Bug's Life. We need to stand up to these grasshoppers, folks. Now, if they refuse to take it, so they refuse payment, you owe them nothing. Now, I know they may look at you and say, well, that's corny, that's archaic, but I'm telling you, folks, that's the law of the land, and we have to start making certain that the law is followed. Not some mandate, not some agenda, the law. And if we do that, if we do not comply and stand upon the rock of truth, I tell you what, we may just have a chance. And there was an article over at RealClearMarkets.com that says that there is a global rejection of the CBDCs right now. And they're reporting that it's happening all over, from the U.S. to Europe to Africa. People are speaking out. They're concerned about their privacy and their freedom when these central bank digital currencies are put into practice. And we talked about the ledger, the unified ledger, that's going to actually control everything concerning our lives and property and commerce. And there's really a big drive right now that the Cato Institute poll recently showed that people are not supporting this, and they're skeptical. And I guess there's a big resistance right now in Nigeria. So this is a good article, and I'd recommend you go out and check it out. It's insightful, and I think it only misses 2 points, but I think you'll get a lot of information on what's actually happening on the pushback as people begin to not comply globally. And I'm using one of their terms, but I think there's going to be a worldwide resistance to this tyranny. Now, 2 things that I think they missed were, first, the central banks are privately owned. They're not government institutions. And there's only 214 of them in the entire world, and each serves only one client, and that's the host nation. And that's what Andrew Jackson and some of the early founders were against. And we've had 3 national banks, and the last one's the Federal Reserve, and it needs to be stopped. The central bank digital currency is going to be steamrolled upon the people through these central banks. And the head granddaddy of all the central banks is the Bank for International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland. It's known as BIS. So together, these central banks make up a giant vampire squid, I guess you could call it, sucking the very lifeblood out of the entire economy of this world. And they're taking their marching orders from the WEF, the Davos crowd, the Bilderbergers, you know, the deep state, the 13 families, whatever you want to call them. And then the second issue is, they should have mentioned that China has tyrannical abuse over these central bank digital currencies and our social credit scores. That wasn't mentioned in the article. And if we submit to it, that's going to be the future here in the U.S. And if we do anything wrong, if this does get into place and we're living in our little silos, we won't be able to buy food, travel, or even have housing. Welcome to the new world order, folks. And it's coming. But right now it's time for the Outer Limits.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
Now, I'm telling you, folks, this next clip about the Barbie movie from Pastor Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, it may sound like something out of the Outer Limits, but sadly, it's real.
What's the big question?
What if everything you know to be true was one big lie?
And I'm telling you, folks, everything we thought we knew to be true. Oh, Barbie's just a nice little plaything for the girls. Oh, Ken and Barbie, you know how many times I heard that over my life? Oh, are you Ken from the Ken and Barbie duo? That's just pure innocent little Barbie. And we see all of these young girls and their parents and their boyfriends, their little woke boyfriends, all going to see this movie. What if The Mystery of Barbie, Ishtar, and Smash Babies had all sorts of occult, dark, demonic histories to it. Well, let's listen to what Jonathan Cahn shares. We're going to give the first about 10 or 11 minutes of this. So it's a long clip, folks, but it's worth listening to. And you know, try to get your head around this. A doll from the 50s and now a Hollywood movie connected to the ancient Mesopotamian goddess in the end times. Could there actually be a dark mystery behind Barbie? Well, let's listen to Rabbi Cahn connect the dots for you. And then we're going to realize that everything we believe to be true was a lie.
Barbie, Ishtar, and the Smashed Babies. Could a doll from the 1950s and Hollywood movie be connected to an ancient Mesopotamian goddess and to the end times? Could there actually be a dark mystery behind Barbie? This is Jonathan Cahn, and it's time for an expose. The biggest movie of the season is about a girl's doll from the end of the 1950s, Barbie, but the fact that Hollywood could take that doll and turn it into an attack on half of the human race, on marriage, on life itself, is a sign of just how sickened our culture has become. I'm going to give you a glimpse of just one scene that's going to give an expose to all the others, and it's going to take it to another dimension. Now, Ben Shapiro did a review of the movie to show how profound the movie is in its dumbness. But I'm going to take it to another realm, that of the spiritual. First, this has to be the most widely distributed anti-man movie ever made. Never before has there been a major motion picture directed at children, girls, to the effect of indoctrinating them against men. Just a few years ago, this motion picture could not even be made as a children's movie. But it shows you how rapidly our culture is changing, or rather, deteriorating. What kind of movie it actually is going to be revealed in the text from its actual dialogue. I'm going to read it. It comes from the lips of Barbie herself. She says this: by giving voice to the cognitive dissonance required to be a woman under the patriarchy, you robbed it of its power. Let me say that again. By giving voice to the cognitive dissonance required to be a woman under the patriarchy, you robbed it of its power. What kind of human communication is that? It's not. It's certainly not normal human communication. It's the kind of sentence you find in a handbook of radical feminism or a film made by Joseph Stalin's Revolutionary Council or the Arts for the Propagation of Marxist Doctrine. And that gives you an idea of what we're actually dealing with. Some people would say, well, the movie's just about fun, so why are you treating it so seriously? Well, that's the point. It's not about fun. If it were, you would never have such words and phrases and sentences. That reveals something very serious. When you think of entertainment and children's entertainment, the first two words that come to mind are not cognitive dissonance or the patriarchy. No, those are words that are used in propaganda and brainwashing. And yet it's aimed at your children, particularly at your daughters. And focusing it all on a doll is a brilliant way to propagandize or brainwash children. And because children are impressionable, such things do and will have an effect, as they plant seeds that will impact the future, even of our culture. What about the continual use of the word patriarchy? It's presented as something to be taken as an absolute reality. In this context, it's a buzzword employed in the writings of radical feminism as a specter responsible for all the evils in the world. It's a word used by radical feminists, many of whom hate men, and that it's used over and over again in this movie is no accident, because the movie depicts men as evil or dangerous. At best, they're presented at the beginning just as jerks, useless, inferior creatures with no real purpose. And then after experiencing the, quote, real world, the men, the evil creatures that they are, begin to take over Barbie land. The men brainwash the women into submission, into being wives, as in marriage, which radical feminism views as something to be destroyed, or agreeable girlfriends, another evil. Why? Because men are evil. That's what men do. Men must be defeated. In this movie, the idea of men and women actually loving each other or needing each other or complimenting each other is an anathema. Marriage is rejected for the sake of the sisterhood. Women must separate themselves from men in favor of being with women. Thus, women are not to need men, as they can fulfill all the functions of manhood by themselves without men. And men, likewise, are not to need women, as they can presumably fulfill all the functions of womanhood by themselves without women. Now, imagine a movie aimed at boys that depicted women as inferior, useless, and evil creatures that had to be conquered. And boys or men had to separate themselves from them. What would be the reaction? And yet Hollywood is vilifying half of the human race. And it's okay? So the victory here is when the women conquer the men. How do they do it? By manipulating them. Because men are not only prone to evil, but to extreme stupidity. Into fighting each other. Since men are always ready to explode into violence. And all this is a common technique of propaganda films. Communist propaganda presents capitalists as the problem, antagonists bent on evil. Give them an inch, they'll take over the world, and they'll oppress and subjugate the common people, the proletariat. In Nazi propaganda, the problem is the Jews, who are also bent to evil. Give them an inch, they'll take over society. They'll take over the world, they'll subjugate the Aryan races. It's the same thing here, except that the antagonists here, the dangerous evildoers, are half the human race. And those whose existence with regard to women is actually linked to love and family and life in real life. The separating of man and woman in this movie is not an accident, any more than it's an accident that one of the Barbies in the movie is actually a transsexual, or that Barbie alludes to gay masturbation among the Kens in a movie aimed at children. What kind of culture pushes this on children? A sick culture, but it goes deeper. And here's the reveal. And it's there at the very opening of the movie. It's all there. The movie opens up with a scene of girls playing with baby dolls. The narrator says that since the beginning of time, girls have played with dolls. But, note the word but, leading into the idea that there's a problem in this. What is the problem? She says, but the dolls were always and forever baby dolls. Always and forever. Baby dolls are now a problem. And they were an endless, relentless, interminable problem. Just as important are the visuals. The girls are shown with dolls caring for them as would their mothers, holding them, nurturing them, feeding them, combing their hair. And interestingly, the girls appear unhappy, somber, or miserable, as if they're engaged in an act of slavery that they're forced to be part of. Which is interesting because the scene depicts girls playing with dolls. Note the word playing. You play because you want to play. It's something enjoyable, something you want to do, fun. But the film inverts that and depicts the play as slavery, another subtext of radical feminism. And something else. The opening is taken from Stanley Kubrick's science fiction 2001, A Space Odyssey. That opening. What does that opening scene focus on? Apes. Look at the apes here as they wake up. So the girls now wake up. So now the little girls are put into the place of apes. It's not an accident. It's not incidental. It's central to the scene and to the message. The girls are as apes. In Kubrick's film, the apes represent the primitive. So in Barbie, girls who play with baby dolls are represented as primitive, unenlightened. In other words, motherhood is primitive. Women as mothers, mother and child, it's a primitive, unenlightened, negative state. Again, the doctrines of radical feminism. In Kubrick's movie, to answer the primitive state, an object appears, a monolith, an upright, rectangular stone slab. The apes are puzzled, disturbed, in awe. It's there to change them away from their primitiveness, their lowly state. So to answer the primitive state of women, as in motherhood, an object appears as a monolith, but it's Barbie. She stands above them as a colossal goddess or a towering idol of a goddess, and she's there to transform them from their primitive state, linked to motherhood. In 2001, the apes cautiously approach the object, touch it, and back away. In Barbie, one of the girls, or primitive ape people, cautiously approaches the object, just like the apes, touches the leg of Barbie, and backs away. In 2001, the effect of the object is to transform the ape away from primitiveness, apeness, into enlightened apes, and the enlightened apes use bones to kill other apes. But in Barbie, the effect is even more profound, because in Barbie, she winks at them, the girls are mesmerized and transformed by her spell. As the ape lifted up the bone to kill an animal or an ape, the one girl lifts up her baby doll that she's been caring for, and what does she do? she smashes the baby doll against another baby doll, and against the rocks, the head of the baby cracks open, explodes. You see the decapitated head of a baby against a rock, just as the ape smashed the bone into the head of a dead animal carcass. And so the baby's head is decapitated while another baby is smashed into it and onto the ground. And in every direction is an explosion of flying baby pieces. In 2001, the ape throws his stick into the air. So the girl then throws into the air, the sky, the baby to transform it into the words Barbie. This is the opening of the movie Barbie. It's all there in the very first scene. All that you need to know about the movie, it's all there. It's all exposed. With all its sugar coating and pink colors and smiles, this is the ultimate spirit behind the movie. And we're going to go even deeper. We're going to expose it with something even deeper. I'm going to come back to this scene at the end, but understand it. We have to look at the mystery of Barbie. Where did she come from? What's her origins? Well, the word Barbie means stranger or foreigner. Where did Barbie come from? Came from another land. She came from post-war Germany. She was taken from a German doll named Bild Lilly. Her first appearance is a character with a fortune teller. Bild Lilly was a form of a sex doll. She was even sold in sex shops. Parents considered her inappropriate for children. She flouted sexual morality. She was depicted as a sex worker, a prostitute. So Bild Lilly came to America in the form of Barbie.
Wow. So let me get this right. Barbie is Bild Lilly. And then when he was talking there, he actually showed a picture of the first Barbie doll. Looked identical, dress and appearance and everything, to the Barbie that was first released here in the United States back in the 60s. And that was the same outfit that the big giant Barbie in the opening scene of the movie Barbie was wearing. Folks, I should have known better. You know, when I went to see The Sound of Freedom with Terry last month, the very same AMC theater was showing multiple screenings of Barbie. It was packed. The theater was full of all these little girls dressed up with their pageant princess outfits, dressed up to look like Barbie with their moms and their big sisters, and some of the teenage girls are with their boyfriends. And it seemed strange to me, but oh, wow. I didn't realize. I never thought to look at the occult meaning behind something as simple as Barbie. Can you imagine this?
Big question.
What if everything you know to be true? Was one big lie.
Folks, I thought the Barbie movie was nothing but a marketing ploy to drum up more Barbie sales. What if everything that we've been told or led to believe is true was actually a lie? So the irony here is that Terry and I were in a movie right next door to the Barbie movie in a crazy world that's actually in truth stealing and exploiting children for sex through pedophiles that were probably behind this movie and the making of the movie Barbie to deconstruct the family. The same establishment that has renamed pedophile sex offenders MAPS or minor attracted people. Remember we played that TED talk where we should be easy on pedophiles. They're now brainwashing our youth with radical Marxist feminism and much, much worse. And that's worse because it is ancient radical Ishtar worship, folks. Folks, when I came out of Cry of Freedom, I was numb. And when I saw all these little girls dressed up like the German sex worker Barbie doll, I didn't know what I was actually looking at. Now I want to scream to these parents. I want to go back to these theaters and say, stop sexualizing your children. I never imagined how deep and dark this actually all was. An irony, isn't it? Even me, somebody who has been red-pilled for 3 going on 4 decades now, still in shock over all of these deep, deep things that we thought were just good old America, you know, like apple pie, baseball, and Chevrolet. I thought Barbie was right up there with them. You know, when a nation kicks God out, a void's created in the metaphysical realm, and it must be filled with another spirit. And these are the spirits of the lesser gods of the antiquities. And that, folks, is what Barbie is all about. But I have to keep moving. And right now, it's time for our Hopium update.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hopium Report, where dreamers of all sorts come for their faith snort. Prepare to get high on Hopium.
Now, this next clip, and we're starting to get a lot of listeners sending in clips. This came from Terry's and my nephew, Eric. He's getting married next week. And oh, by the way, folks, Terry and I have to head out early next week. So if I'm looking at the timing and of our departure and all that and what we're doing with the dogs, next week's show may be abbreviated. Maybe it'll just be a little commentary on something. I don't know yet. But we have to be up to the Seven Springs area for Eric and Tammy's wedding. The wedding's at noon, and it's probably an hour, hour and a half drive from here. And we have to take care of the dogs, maybe drop them off somewhere, whatever. But I don't know if we're going to be able to do a show. But anyways, this next clip is from Eric. And I'll tell you after you hear it why I have hope.
If you take this basketball right here, you put it in my hands, yeah, it's worth about $15. That's it. But you put that basketball in the hands of LeBron James, it's worth about 30 or 40 million. Take this football right here, put it in my hands, it's worth about, I don't know, $10, $11. In the hands of Peyton Manning, it's worth about $50, $60 million. Depends on whose hands it is. Put a slingshot in my hands, it just becomes a kid's toy. You put it in the hands of King David, and he slays a giant with it. See, it depends on whose hand it is in. Two fishes and five loaves of bread would feed me with some bread left over. Put it in the hands of Jesus, and it feeds thousands. Depends on whose hands that it's in. About a couple of nails in my hand right now, I might would build you a birdhouse, if you're lucky. Might nail down a piece of wood. But you put them same nails in Jesus' hands, and it leads to salvation and eternal life for folks who love him and folks who trust him. You see, it depends on whose hands that it's in. And your worries and your cares and the things that's got you stressed out, if you leave them in your hands, that's all they're ever going to be. But if you put them same worries and cares and your problems in the hands of Christ, he's going to see you through it. He's going to take care of every need that we got. Y'all take care and have a blessed day. But just remember, it depends on whose hands that it's in. Give everything you've got to God and let him handle it for you.
And to that, I can say a big amen. You know, I get some criticism on what we cover on this show, but my point, and the only reason I do this, is that we need to rest in the hands of Jesus, folks. And when I get a clip like that from Eric, it makes me hope that maybe people are starting to get it. What I'm trying to do is show you that you can't put your trust in your money. You can't put your trust in your government. You can't put your trust in your health. You can't even put your trust in your own abilities. We have to put all of our trust in Jesus. And he's equipped us through the power and the agency of the Holy Spirit to accomplish this. You know, this whole COVID scamdemic, it's been COVID for millennia. COVID is the definition of the virus, if you believe germ theory, that carries the common cold. COVID isn't dangerous. COVID-19 was a derivative of the virus, which is continuing to mutate, but this was done in a lab. And COVID-19 actually put linkages in, which were related to the MERS, the Middle Eastern Severe Acute Respiratory Syndrome, and they had to decouple your immune system, so they actually have some of the HIV genetics in there. And all of this was done to create a bioweapon. So everybody that has COVID doesn't have SARS, and everybody that has SARS doesn't necessarily have a COVID virus. The two are linked with COVID-19 to create a bioweapon that then allowed for the introduction of the bigger bioweapon. But why am I saying all this? Because when you put your trust in the media, when you put your trust in the world, when you put your trust in all the things that you know as a natural man or woman, you're going to be led by fear, worry, doubt, unbelief. But when you become a new person in Jesus Christ, when you become a spiritual man, a spiritual woman, All things are made new. You see things differently. And then you're able to be an overcomer. You're able to walk by faith and not by sight. You're no longer playing the confidence game. You're no longer playing the equity game. You're walking by the grace and mercy of God in his righteousness. So there's hope out there, folks. And that's what it's all about. But we have to keep moving. And right now it's time for our Absurdian Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world of the absurd. This is the Absurdium Report.
Life mimics theater, but fiction is safer. The curtain rises. The show begins.
Now, at first hearing earlier in the show, when I said in the opening that we're going to end up in these 15-minute cities, better known as silos, and fed GMO foods and Marxist propaganda 24/7, you may have said that sounded a little bit absurd. And this next clip may sound totally absurd, too. But in this next clip, we have a woman who escaped communist China named Xi Van Fleet. And she witnessed the horrors under Mao Zedong. And I also worked with a guy named Steve Wang, who told me similar stories. But what I'd like to do right now, play this clip from an interview she had recently on Fox News. Okay? And listen to her talk about what she's seeing here in the United States right now. She is accusing the left right now of being Marxist and said there's no one safe, because they'll eventually come for everyone who says no. That's why we need to have strength in numbers, folks. Listen to this. It isn't absurd.
Tell me, as you see these indictments and you saw this mugshot come out yesterday, what goes through your mind as somebody who has survived communism?
Rachel, thank you for having me. I have to tell you, I'm 64. I've experienced a lot. I lived through the most brutal communist regime in China. And I witness a lot, and now I will count. One of the darkest moments that I witness is the day when the former president of the United States was indicted and mugshot in Georgia prison. I have to say, I think America is quickly becoming a communist country, and our rule of law has been turned into what Marxists called proletarian dictatorship. The party in power is after its political oppositions, and it's not just the president, but people like activists, and they are now in jail. They are political prisoners in the free country of United States.
Yes, many of them in solitary confinement. It's really terrible. So there's a lot of people who really don't like Donald Trump. They hate him for a lot of reasons. What's your message to them? Because they seem gleeful about this, but what's the warning to people who maybe don't like Donald Trump, would like to have him not be the next president? Why is what is happening actually bad for them too?
Yeah, I have a word for them. Forget about Donald Trump. What's happening in America is that the party in power is abusing their power and going after any oppositions. Now it's Donald Trump. Now it's MAGA. But eventually it's everybody, because communist regime would not tolerate any opposition, any dissenting voices. So they're coming after all of us, including those who are cheering and now for Trump's indictment, and they think they are on the winning team. They're not. We are all will become victims if we let them succeed.
So what's the message for what we should do now as Americans, and maybe even what should conservatives do, as they're the ones who are right now feeling like their point of view, their side is being persecuted?
I really have a word for everybody, including the conservatives. learn a little bit of history and learn a little bit of cultural revolution. What's happening here is a repeat. Only when people understand the history and the nature of what's going on, where they wake up, we are dealing with communism. We are dealing with Marxism, who want to transform our country into a dictatorship.
Yeah, you know, Xi, one place people can get started in learning about that history and the history that you lived through, the brutal history of Chinese communism, is through your Twitter. I encourage people to go to your Twitter handle. You talk about all of the things that have happened that are so reminiscent of what we are experiencing now, as well as the people who weren't doing anything when things started to go bad. We need to learn from history. Such a great message. Xi, you are a great American. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much.
I'm Steve Ducey.
I'm Brian Kilmeade.
And I'm Ainsley Earhart.
We don't need to hear that. That was just the bumper at the end there, folks. I'm telling you, this isn't absurd. We are literally in a cultural revolution. It's the dictatorship of the proletariat. It's the brown shirts of Nazi Germany. And don't think that fascism is on one side of the political spectrum and Marxism is on the other. No, they're both subsets of this little reality in politics known as socialism. They're both built upon socialism. There's a bigger world out there in the realm of politics, yet we're being forced to play in this little sandbox. It isn't about Trump. If anything, he's on the fascistic end of that spectrum. If he wasn't, he'd be calling for the elimination of the Federal Reserve. He'd be talking about wiping out just about every federal agency and getting back to the constitutional republic, but he isn't. I'm telling you, folks, our very way of life is being threatened. We must stand up in unison and say, do not comply. And I have to keep moving. And right now, it's time for Ken's Corner, spelled with a K.
Welcome to Ken's Corner, spelled with a K, where I'll share my life experiences to help you understand what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. So let's get started.
Now, I first heard about this voice-to-head technology that I'm going to share with you years ago with William Cooper, and I used to think that was crazy. I mean, I heard so many things from Cooper that I really struggled with my understanding of reality. I actually had to go through these numerous paradigm shifts. I remember when he got on this series about NASA mooning America by a guy named Rene. It was a book that was out at the time, a little self-published book, pretty much proving that at least the official narrative out by NASA concerning the Apollo moon landing is a bunch of scripted Hollywood staged, some people say by Stanley Kubrick, propaganda. And that's the truth. But he also talked about this ELF technology that can make you hear voices in your head. And I used to think Cooper was crazy. Then along comes Sabrina Wallace from Nonvaxxer 420 over at Rumble. And we talked about her last week. And she's talking about all these things I heard Cooper talk about. And here's where it gets really interesting and why I'm going to share a clip from her. Actually, two if we have. Now, in this first clip, Sabrina's talking about some of the technology that the Department of Defense has developed with regard to biosensors. And she alludes to MAC addresses. And there's one word that you're going to hear in this clip she plays about graphene. And after I play this, I'll explain to you why.
Nanotechnology in combat casualty care, state-of-the-art and emerging trends. And then I want you to fast forward to right around...
Hey, damn. Brain barrier could potentially be dangerous. We would mimic the environment of cells and its embed.
So we're going to go right here to right around 33 minutes. Pioneering tissue integrating biosensors for continuous monitoring of body chemistries. And you'll want to listen until you hit right... Yeah, I think it's right about there.
But it goes into tissue. And what it does is it emits a fluorescent signal whenever it's in the presence of a biomarker like glucose, lactate, or oxygen. And they actually use this technology to develop a device called Lumi, which monitors oxygen in tissues that have been compromised from peripheral artery disease, chronic wounds. It's actually been CE marked for use in Europe and is currently under investigational use by the FDA. Another company I want to talk about is Legionarius. They've developed these smart garments that are loaded with biosensors, and they actually can alert medical personnel remotely to where the injury has occurred in the warfighter and can even apply compression to the area of injury, right, to control hemorrhage without a person actually being there. So one of those ways to extend the capabilities of medical personnel in the field. So move on to slide 30, we'll talk about emerging trends in this area. One thing that's fairly clear in the report, we didn't necessarily touch on it too much here, but graphene has become a very popular substrate for sensors. Not necessarily that it's replacing silicone, but it's becoming a lot more easier to work with and more interesting to explore. There's been a lot of work with implantable sensors. We see this a lot in diabetes care with glucose monitoring. But maybe we're going to get to the point where we see this with other biomarkers as well. Another thing that's kind of been interesting for a long time, pretty much all of our diagnostic tests have been based off of blood. Blood is still the gold standard, but it's difficult to get, right? You have to draw blood, you have to do other things and monitor, run it in these giant machines and things like that. So anything that we can do to use other body fluids makes it a little bit easier to monitor and diagnose. And so there's been a big trend now that we've got these smaller sensors to be able to detect analytes in sweat and interstitial fluid. And then I think these last two are really quite interesting and kind of go hand in hand in some ways. Nanotechnology is allowing us to develop more flexible electronics, and we can make smart fibers and we can weave them into textiles, something like what Legionarius is doing. There's been a lot of research funded by MIT, supported by MIT in this area. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But also another trend is looking at these self-powering nanosensors. We've done some research in the past looking at energy harvesting systems and nanogenerators for combat equipment, but this is kind of neat to see this in the field where people are developing biosensors that can power those cells, right, through turbioelectric or piezoelectric means. So slide 31, we're going to cover some challenges here. Again, we've got some ethical issues, especially with implantable sensors. If you're continuously monitoring a biomarker, you're also continuously sending a signal. So what does that mean in terms of privacy, not just data security, but finding a location of a warfighter, right? So that could potentially have some concerns. Bandwidth is a big issue, right? If you got lots of devices sending lots of signals, it's going to get very crowded, right? You're competing with other operational pieces as well. So as we move more to the multi-domain operation concept of having autonomy and AI and robotics and more data, that's great. But how do we make sure that we're going to have enough room, you know, when you get to electromagnetic frequencies and stuff like that, to monitor all this stuff?
Yeah. How are we going to have enough room monitoring all those frequencies inside your body? Dynamic allocation, K-hop routing. What's that? Well, that's how we start changing channels to make room for all the bandwidth inside of you. Inside of you. Inside. So here's where I close it up for the folks that still are really struggling. Everything that I have said to folks, I have said very firmly, because I have absolutely no question whatsoever about the vector of delivery of biofrequency weaponry attached to your DNA in Department of Defense Directive 3000.09, which you can read about in this free PDF from this college textbook. It is on the, it is in the very first chapter, of which you turn to page, literally the first page, human-computer interaction. It does not say wearables, because as you just heard from the Department of Defense a year ago, that's not what we're dealing in. We are dealing in lethal autonomous weapon systems that have been active since 2017. And the reason that you don't know it is because apparently the Pentagon is very busy with biomedical tissue engineers, wireless tissue engineers, and you, whoever you are, you've never heard of it before. So then here on the channel, we're having a fit because right here it explains you are attached to the system with something called Project Maven, which I'm also going to be going into later today.
Well, that's a good place to stop there, and I'm looking at the clock. I'm not going to be able to play the second one, but we covered the essentials there. And what I want to just talk about is he was referring to energy harvesting. Folks, that's the copper tops of the movie Matrix. You and me in those pods that all of the people who were red-pilled woke out of. They're going to use our electrical system to actually power the slave system that we're going to be chained by. And then he mentioned graphene being used for sensors. And here's where I wanted to put this in Ken's corner. Back in 2014, I was approached by one of my people in my professional network. And I did a lot of consulting in the past. And those of you that know me know that I developed the fiberglass window system by the grace of God and a lot of other good people. It's now being sold by Pella Windows. Got multiple patents on that. I have some patents on the windmill blade reinforcements used in those big windmills you see. And I knew what that was. I just had to do some work to get original technology developed when I was a research associate at PPG Industries. Nonetheless, I've got a big network of people in the composite industry. And I was approached in 2014 by someone to develop a substrate where they could grow graphene. Now, this was a little subsidiary of one of the big defense contractors, and I'm just going to mention their acronym, ANS, Alpha Number System, you know, ANS. And these were nanotech systems. And I was all excited because I'm working with a big defense contractor with an unlimited budget, and we're developing a really cool technology to grow these nanoparticles. These carbon nanoparticles. Folks, I'm starting to realize that I was actually helping the deep state forge their chains, or the chains that will enslave us. These are the graphene particles they're going to use to do monitoring. You can't make this stuff up. And the MAC addresses, the clip I was going to play, you know, we're seeing MAC addresses. It's coming from these technologies that are in our system. And when they generate power, with our aura, the very thing they say doesn't exist. But I am running out of time, and I can't talk in more detail like I wanted to. We have to move on to Back to the Future. The segment where we take something from the past and bring it back to the future. Now this week, folks, we're going to wind the clock back, way back to the 1700s. And in this century, in the 18th century, there was a supposedly innocent philosopher whose name was, and I have to look it up here because I just forgot it, Jeremy Bentham. And he proposed something in the 1700s that was essentially a new design for a new type of prison. And this prison of his was called the Panopticon. And it was a prison to deal with crimes. And the crimes were for the harsh things, not debtors' prisons. Now, this was a guy from England, and he lived in a time when most people were in prison in England for financial crimes, you know, paying a debt, stealing money, what have you. But the serious people, the people that maybe were leading an insurrection or committed murder or arson or serious things, they were typically forced to go to war, or they were forced to these horrible conditions in exile. So what Bentham did is he proposed this panopticon. this new form of prison. And when I was reading this, I thought, and I was quite innocent. I was just, you know, as I do every week, getting my news and show content. It was over on the HarbingerDaily.com, and it was titled Surveillance State, the Building Blocks of a Digital Panopticon Prison. Well, it made me start to realize something. He wasn't able to provide total surveillance. And the way he wanted to do it was have very light prisons so the guards could see everything that was going on. And the lights would actually create this state of consciousness in the inmate. And the visibility assures an automatic functioning of the power, which were the guards. So he was trying to do what I think the deep state actors are finally able to do with their 15-minute cities, their biosensors, all of this planning. And there was a quote I wanted to read out of there. And Klaus Schwab wrote this book. We talked about it before, and Brother Seth has a copy. It's called The Great Narrative. And it's actually a sequel of The Great Reset, which was a book he also published. And in it, he said, narratives shape our perceptions, which in turn form our realities and end up influencing our choices and action. And folks, it's becoming clearer and clearer that not only this whole thing that the, well, you hear that helicopter, it's flying low, folks. You hear that? I had the window open. I mean, that thing, I don't know if you heard it or not. Wow. Anyways, I lost my train of thought. I thought it was a black helicopter, but it wasn't. Anyways, it's becoming clearer and clearer to me that the only great thing that Schwab and his minion are leading the world into isn't the Great Reset or the Great Narrative, but what's going to end up being the Great Tribulation that the Bible foretold of. These globalists are building a new panopticon prison, and this time it's going to be digital. With the vaccine passports, the artificial intelligence, the central bank digital currency, the smart appliances, the cameras everywhere you turn, the implantable technology, the digital ID, and the biosensors. So now you may be saying, well, how does that apply to what's going on today, Ken? Well, I'm going to play a clip from 2014. This was February 9th, 2014. It was over on DT News, and it was hosted by Annie Goss. And just listen to her talk about digital medicine. And remember, this was a decade ago.
Would you swallow a medical implant to protect your health? Pretty soon, you can. Hey, this is Annie for D News. We know that even common medications can have side effects that aren't fun. You know, those ones that pharma companies spit out at the end of their ads as quickly as humanly possible. And exacerbating this is the fact that about half of people take meds incorrectly anyway, according to one survey by the World Health Organization. Scientists are working on this problem, though, in the form of smart meds or even implants. A team from the American Chemical Society built nanosheets that combined anti-inflammatory drugs with electrodes through a polymer film. They were then able to control the release of the drug through electrical shocks. It's still in the development stage, but they say this technique could be useful in treating diseases like epilepsy, where a medication is already in your body and can be released right away as the seizure happens. This study is just one of many projects in the works to create programmable meds, though. For example, swallowable microchips have already been approved by the FDA. A company called Proteus Digital created microchip-embedded pills with tiny sensors that can react to digestive juices. That relays a signal to a patch on your skin, which can then be relayed to your doctor. So if something's awry or if you're not doing your meds correctly, they can get alerted automatically. And in 2012, scientists built tiny nanobots out of human DNA. These act kind of like a Trojan horse. They look and act like normal DNA, but hold enzymes that can treat cancer. These are still in the development stage too, but doctors are hopeful that these treatments can be programmed to attack cancer on the molecular level. And then, of course, there are those smart contact lenses recently announced by Google, which are meant to track glucose levels through your tears. There are actually a bunch of companies working on similar concepts, and for more on that, check out my video on my other channel if you're interested. So whether it's a lens, a minuscule cluster of DNA, or a swallowable microchip, your future doctor might be smarter and a lot tinier. Would you be willing to swallow a pill that sends your info to your doctor? Let us know why or why not in the comments. And as always, you can talk back to the show on Twitter at DNews or the Discovery News Facebook page. And I'm also at Annie Gauss. Thanks for watching. See you next time.
So what she spoke 10 years ago, folks, is almost prophetic. These nanosheets she was talking about, they're the graphene, folks. the nanoparticles I helped ANS mass produce programming. Listen to this next clip from 2021, June 2nd, 2021. This was on Fox 32 Chicago. And it's talking about new technology that allows doctors to program patients remotely.
It's going to change the way how we do medicine.
Telemedicine takes the leap to the next level, allowing doctors to not just see patients remotely, but treat them as well.
This first-of-its-kind technology was both developed and put to use right here in the Chicago area.
Sally Schulze gives us a look at how it's changing the lives of people with Parkinson's or chronic pain.
I found you. Now we're connecting.
With an iPad at Rush University Medical Center, this neurologist tweaks the implant in his patient's brain, even though she's miles away in the suburbs.
I think this is a game changer.
Dr. Leo Verhagen is raving about the Neurosphere Virtual Clinic. Think of it as a really advanced app where doctors and patients connect remotely to manage movement disorders or chronic pain that are treated with an implant in their brain or spinal cord.
If you can look at Netflix, then you can also do this.
Watch how Parkinson's patient Tricia O'Neill has a tremor in her arm at her home in Hinsdale.
I'm just slightly adjusting it.
Back at Rush, Dr. Verhagen adjusts an implant in O'Neill's brain, what's called deep brain stimulation, and the tremor ebbs.
The tremor's going away, so.
Before, O'Neill would have had to drive to Rush every few months for these adjustments, taking a half day off work.
Now if I need to tweak to any of my adjustments, I can just dial in. It's like a telehealth. It could be just 15 minutes. I could do it from my office even.
It's a telehealth solution, but it's beyond telehealth.
Dr. Binnis Chirin says this technology developed at Abbott Labs is the next step because it allows doctors to talk to their patients remotely, but also treat them.
It's truly a one-of-its-kind technology and hugely impactful to people with Parkinson's disease, essential tremor, and chronic pain conditions. And there are tens of millions of Americans with these conditions today.
Dr. Verhagen has been using deep brain stimulation to treat Parkinson's for years, with patients braving the notorious Chicago traffic as they travel hundreds of miles for the specialized care.
They don't mind if they have to come maybe once or twice and get maybe the surgery done here. But then if they know that they can be going on and be programmed from a distance at home, that is a big step forward, I think.
And likely the first step of many leaps for healthcare technology.
Healthcare is still a little bit analog, and we need to make it a little bit more digital, fit in more with our modern lives.
But the future is uncertain. Telehealth is currently covered by insurance in Illinois due to a pandemic emergency order. That expires soon, and lawmakers in Springfield continue to debate making telehealth coverage continue when the state reopens. Sally Schulze, Fox 32 News.
So this is chilling, folks. But the key is they don't even need the brain implants anymore. With the information that Sabrina Wallace is disclosing from the IEEE working group and all of the directed energy and the DOD DARPA work and everything we heard from Deborah Tavares over at StopTheCrime.net, folks, this technology is out there. We're going to have to cover some of this on future shows. And this is a deep, deep rabbit hole. This is a lot of new information to me, putting together pieces of the puzzle. You know, what could possibly go wrong with all this? If they could do this programming on this woman's brain, this woman with Parkinson, and I actually sat across the table from somebody at a recent birthday party that has one of those implants. What could possibly go wrong with it? Well, they could have a kill switch. Just terminate upon noncompliance. We need to stand up now and say no. So who can we trust? Well, one way to learn who you can trust is to learn how to spot a counterfeit. And that's what I'd like to share with you today, folks. I'd like to share with you just like kind of a follow-up on what we talked about last week. You know, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the difference between truth and facts. You know, truth is immutable, unchanging. There's no more truth yesterday than there is today, and will be no more truth today than there is tomorrow. Yet facts are fickle. We are just seeing knowledge and facts grow at an astronomical rate. And then last week we learned that the Bible tells us that we're to prize the truth. We were reading out of Proverbs, and then we're to purchase the truth, and we must preserve the truth. Now you may be wondering why. Well, there's this open war right now on the war of God. The war of God, the word of God. And we have to guard against those who seek to distort and destroy the truth. We all need to be authentic. And we all need to turn to that which is real. And the only thing real is the Lord Jesus Christ, folks. Now, in truth, there's only two kinds of religion out there. And I was talking to Pastor Todd about that. Yet the world divides and we have all these denominations and all these sects. There's only two religions, all those that are wrong and the one which is right. And remember, I told you God only likes this in religion, charity to widows and orphans and keeping us clean from the pollution of this world. That's the only kind of religion that is good. That's the only kind of religion that is righteous. And that religion is a relationship with Jesus Christ. So we have all these divisions, and I'm going to tell you this. When you analyze it, it boils down to two, the true and the false. That's it, the true and the false. One which is authentic and from God, and all of the inauthentic. And all of those has the curse of Almighty God upon them. Now, if it's false, it's dangerous, and the world's full of dangerous doctrines, not only in the area of faith, but in the area of medicine, religion, money, politics, education. And, of course, religion. Now, Peter warns us about false teachers, and that's what we're going to study today. So I'm going to encourage you to read 2 Peter chapter 2. Read the whole thing, but focus on the first 9 verses. And that's where we get this word pseudo from. It comes from the Greek word, and it's taught about in here. And I'm just going to read the first 3 verses and then encourage you to go read this entire chapter. But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. So continue to read that, folks, and you're just going to see this entire mask being pulled off these false teachers and prophets. Now, it's wrong to tell a lie, and I think we'd all agree with that. And even worse, it's horribly wrong. Orders of magnitude more wrong to teach a lie than it is to tell a lie, and it's monstrous to teach and tell lies about God. There's no greater crime than to be a false prophet or a false teacher. And God doesn't take this lightly, and the judgment will be severe and swift when his dam of mercy stops holding back his judgment. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, they had a theocracy. And God said in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 20, "But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die." Now, here's the crazy thing. That's very clear. Lie about God, die. My old partner, John, twisted that and used to put so many false prophets up on our show. I couldn't believe it. I cringe. I can't understand how he twisted that scripture. Now, that ought to thin the ranks out in a hurry, because false prophets should die. But we're not in a theocracy today, and they don't die. So you have to learn how to discern them from the truth. I'm telling you, God hates lies taught about himself so much that what I'm about to cover in this message may not be very happy, but it's very necessary, because today the world's full of dangerous lies and doctrines. And we're going to take this, like I said, out of 2 Peter and look deeper into what I call authentic Christianity. And please don't accuse me of being bigoted or narrow-minded. Please understand that what I'm trying to do is give you a Bible-centric, Bible-focused worldview. And I want to sound an alarm. I want to unmask these false prophets. And I'm going to try to do that by the grace of God as I lay out 3 major thoughts that I pray are embedded in our hearts and minds concerning this grave matter that's facing not only the churches today, but all of our culture. And it's coming from the presence of these false teachers. So in verse 1, we read, "But there were false pseudo, that's where that word comes from, prophets, also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. So there's two things here in this very first sentence. First, we have to realize that their presence existed in the past under the nation Israel, and it shall be among you and me, the church, people today. So it was then and now. Now, you may say to yourself, well, I'll be able to spot that. Well, St. Paul tells you to be careful because they could even be masquerading as a pastor on the pulpit. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. For such are prophets, false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Let that sink in for a minute, folks. So Satan and his workers don't come as these scaly, creepy monsters with horns and hooves and pitchforks, you know, dressed up in the red devil suit. But rather, they're coming as silver-tongued angels of light. You see them on the news. You see them on the fancy pulpits on TV. You see them in schools and classrooms. You see them all across the land, standing there and declaring as experts, as trusted authority figures, when in actually they're liars, false prophets. The Bible says those who are going to bring in damnable heresies. Did you catch that? Damnable heresies. Now, this word heresy comes from the root word meaning to divide. So these heresies extend beyond theology. They get into our society. They get into our culture. And that's what we have right now in the media, damnable heresies. The bottom line is there has always been false prophets. There will always be false prophets all the way up to the end of the age. So don't think it's strange because we have false prophets today, false teachers in our churches and in our culture all around us. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, this doesn't discourage me, and it shouldn't discourage you either, because from the beginning of the time through this time all the way till the end of the age, the Word of God is telling us that there will be these false prophets. Furthermore, if there were none, if there were no false teachers, no false apostles, no false prophets, the Bible wouldn't be true because the book, the good book says there will be. So we ought to take great joy when we uncover them, not because we want to be deceived by them, but because we are confirming that the Word of God is tried and true. So when you find one, go over to your Bible in this scripture right there in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, and write TP, tried and proven. So you have to first realize their presence. And then what I'd like to wrap this message up with is recognizing their pretense. So how do you spot a false prophet? Well, I warned you can't use their looks because that's what Paul said to us. They come as angels of light. They are shapeshifters. So how are we going to know? Because they can be very persuasive, very charming, silver-tongued, you know? So how? Well, we must be discerning, and we're discerning through the Spirit, because these false teachers are going to seem sincere. They're going to seem genuine. So how do you recognize the pretense of these pseudo-apostles? Well, first of all, we can spot them by their message, and then by their method, and finally by their mannerisms. So we may know a false prophet by his false message, and there are five tests to see whether or not the message is false. And I'm going to go through these very fast, and you can use these on anybody, anywhere, any place, any language, any denomination, including me. So these are five tests, and they're very handy to know whether or not the message that you are listening to is a false message or not. Number one, the source test. Is the source of their information the Word of God, or does it come from other sources other than the Bible? So if it comes from the Word of God, find out if that person bases all that he says and all that he believes upon the Word of God. Secondly, there's the Savior test. What do they believe about the Lord Jesus Christ? Do they believe that Jesus is the very Son of God, virgin born, King of kings, Lord of lords, God the Son and Son of God? As much God as if he were all God and as much man as if he were all man. Find out what that person believes about Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says in 2 John chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, if there come any among you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. So if they deny the deity of Jesus Christ, if they deny his virgin birth, if they deny anything about the biblical Christology of the person and the presence and the very magnificence of Jesus, run, because they're a false teacher. And thirdly, there's the subject test. So there's the source test, the savior test, and the subject test. What's the subject of their preaching? When you let all the air out of the tires, when you boil it all down, are they all about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do they preach that Jesus died for your sins, that he was buried, that he raised again on the third day? Do they preach the saving gospel of Jesus Christ? Now, these few questions can determine whether that person at your doorstep coming to chat to you about religion, or that person up on the pulpit, or that person on the TV program is a false teacher or not. So just ask yourself, what's the main subject or theme of their teaching? And then there's a fourth test, the salvation test. What do they say about you being saved? Do you get saved by sending them money? Do you get saved by doing some good works? Is it a man-centric or God-centric preaching of salvation? I'm telling you, friends, if it's not salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, then that's a false prophet. And finally, there's the sanctification test. Are they living a clean, pure, godly, holy life, set apart? And do they encourage and teach others to do so? Now, false prophets may pass 1, 2, 3, 4 of these tests, but they must pass all 5. No, they could say, well, yeah, I believe that the Bible's the word of God. Or they could say, I believe in the full deity of Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, they must pass all 5 of these tests. So find out what a person believes and then measure them against these 5 immutable standards, the fundamentals of the faith. And if they're not bringing you the right message, then they're a false prophet. And you can apply this to the newscasters, and you can apply this to all the other people that you base your information on. So recognize their pretense by their message, and then look at their method. Again, from verse 1, St. Peter wrote, they will privily bring in damnable heresies. Now, that word privily, to secretly bring it in. And the word's conveying this idea of laying something alongside something else, and that's where they get very tricky. So they lay something good along something that's bad. And so very few of these false teachers and these false prophets simply come out and deny the whole scope of Christianity. That would be heretical. You'd know them right away. You could tell a snake, a rattlesnake, it rattles, and it's going to bite you, and it's going to hurt you. But remember, they transform themselves into angels of light. They're silver-tongued. And like I said, they'll even affirm things that you and I believe. They might say, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. Or they might say, we believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Or they might even say, we all ought to live good and godly, Christ-filled lives, so on and so on. And then they privily lay alongside of that doctrine something that's deceptive. I'm telling you, folks, the devil's very clever. The Bible says he's more subtle than any beast in the field. The devil's the one who taught Madison Avenue how to sell beer and cigarettes and even all this processed junk food. Now, look up this word feigned. Do you see the word feigned there in the King James Version of this passage? Open up your Bibles and take a look, folks. In the Greek, that word is plastos. That's the word we get plastic from. So these false teachers use these plastic words. And plastic is something that can be molded to fit any situation. Something could be made to look and sound real, but it isn't, you know, like plastic leather, like that Naga hide that was so popular back in the 70s and 80s. It looks like real leather, but it's fake. So these false teachers use plastic, plastos, or feigned words. And that's their method. They come in privily with plastic or fake words. These pseudo-apostles, these pseudo-teachers, these pseudo-prophets, they use our words and our dictionary, but they feign these words. They make them plastic, and they make merchandise out of you and me. So you're going to know them by their message, those five fundamentals. You're going to know them by their method, and then finally by their manner. In verse 2, St. Peter wrote, "And many shall follow their pernicious ways." Now, pernicious means unbridled lust, lasciviousness. Do you know that apostasy and immorality are always linked together? Almost always. Jude wrote in verse 4, "For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." So lasciviousness is this unbridled lust. They take the word grace and they add to that idea of grace that you can live anyway and do anything, and it's all okay because you're covered by the blood of Jesus. And I'm telling you, folks, that is a lie. That's one of the trenches on the highway of holiness off to the side. That's liberty. I mean, that's licentiousness. That's license. We're on the highway of liberty and holiness. And then on the other side, there's that legalism. But the bottom line, folks, is that false prophets and immorality are always linked together. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 14, the beginning of the verse says, "I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies." So I'm telling you, the truth is, the biblical truth is, the rock-ribbed truth of God is that when you find a false prophet, sooner or later, you're going to find gross immorality. And on that note, folks, I'd like to wrap it up today. And what I'd like to do is encourage all of you to stand on this truth and realize that our hope is in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, and never give in. No, never. No, never.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
And remember, folks, when you ask Jesus to come into your life, that same spirit that rose him from the grave, the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, literally lives in you and me. And then you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Let's lift our hands up with Jeremy Camp and praise the Lord. I love y'all.
We're living in a very defining time in our generation, where fear is creeping in and the uncertainty of the unknown is everywhere.
I can see what is raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk.
There's an urgency like never before in my heart to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, to show a world that looks like there is no hope, that in Jesus alone you will find that hope and peace, to stand up in the midst of adversity and tribulation, and to show the unconditional love of our Savior while not shying away from speaking the truth of God's Word.
The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same power that can call the raging sea, lives in us.
We all cry out for change in our world, but many times we are left asking, how can I make a difference? What do I do next? The truth is, we can do nothing. In our own strength and our own power, we will fail. But Jesus himself said to the disciples, "I leave with you my spirit." In Romans 8:11, it says, "If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you." Let's step out in his power must proclaim the name of Jesus in boldness and love. And when the attacks come from all sides, walk in the understanding that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, because the enemy has been defeated and the victory is in Jesus.